اللهم بلغ الله المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات ثواب سورة الفاتحة مع الصلوات. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين خالق السماوات والأرضين. الحمد لله الذي بعث أنبياءه بالحق والهدى ثم ختمهم بحبيبه المصطفى. الحمد لله الذي جعل إكمال دينه وإتمام نعمته بولاية المرتضى. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في كتابه وقوله الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال الله عز وجل وهو أصدق الصادقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين فما تنفعهم شفاعة الشافعين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Respected scholars, my elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have been discussing for a few nights. Let me get this working. Okay, can we please recite a salawat? For the last few nights, we have been discussing these ayat from the Holy Quran based on the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed fasting upon for us. And we have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed fasting and all the other ibadat so that we may acquire taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to acquire taqwa, because it is for the muttaqeen that Allah has reserved paradise. It is for the muttaqeen that Allah has reserved the blessings of the hereafter. If we can go ahead two slides, please. Actually, three even, I think. One more, please. Okay. So far, we have said that there are certain building blocks of taqwa. There are certain building blocks of taqwa. The first one we discussed was to avoid suht. If we want to enter paradise, if we want our hearts and our souls to be pure, then we need to avoid eating that which is haram. Then we discussed prayers. We discussed salat. And we said that salat, it is not enough when we talk about salat to talk about those actions that we perform. Our salat indeed has to be of that level that which we saw, for example, the a'imma have. That when Imam Ali has an arrow in his leg and they cannot take the arrow out, the Prophet says, wait until he is in prayers. Wait as Ali is in prayers. And then when Ali is in prayers, they draw out the arrow and Imam Ali does not feel a thing. Because that state of prayer, Ali only knows his ma'bud. Ali only knows his beloved. Imam Ali does not know anything else when he is in prayers. Yet when we pray, everything else comes into mind. Now there is a latifa. A man once comes to the Sheikh and he says, Sheikh, today for Aisha, you only recited 3 rak'at. So he says, No, I recited 4. He says, no, I'm sure you recited 3 rak'at. He says, how do you know that? He says, I have 4 stores. I do the hisab of every store in every rak'at. Today I only did hisab of 3 stores. So, Sheikh, you only recited 3. There is something wrong with our prayers. And this is because we have not learned how to disconnect from the world. This world, with all its limitations, are bombarding us with all these types of information. Our prayer should be a disconnection from this world and a connection only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet that is very difficult to achieve, but we have to try to do that. The second thing we talked about was being charitable. We talked about the importance of giving charity yesterday. The importance of being generous whenever someone asks. So we talked about giving a loan and someone said, well, when they ask for a loan, charity in the mosque, when they ask for Ramadan fund, can we give a loan to the mosque? No, it doesn't work like that. You give away. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when you give charity, that is a loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give you back multitude. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ. The example of those who give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like that of a grain. Of a grain. كَمَثَلِ الْحَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ. Every grain will give 7-fold. It will give 7 grains or ears. فِي كُلِّ سُنْبَلَةٍ مِئَةٍ حَبَّةٍ. In every ear there are 100 of grains. So you see the multiplication. And then when you grow that again, it comes back again. And indeed, those who give in the way of Allah with a pure heart, those people will witness that it comes back. You do not have to wait for it to come back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives back more and more. Please recite the salawat. Even in Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. O you who believe, do not allow your children and your wealth to take you away from dhikrullah. Doesn't mean that you tell your children, I don't want anything to do with you. But it means that you do not become so engrossed in the dunya that it stops you from remembering Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Remember what we said yesterday, that giving whilst you are alive has a greater value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give whilst you do have possibility to give yourself, rather than say that after my death, distribute this for me, has a greater value to give in your life. Allah says, give before death comes to you. فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Because when we get there, then we will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, now let me live a few hours longer or a few days longer so that I can give more in charity. And I will be amongst those who did salih, who did good actions. Who was amongst the Salihin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, this is where shaitan comes in. There's another story. It said that there was a preacher was standing, more charismatic than myself, and the people were listening, and he says that you have to give sadaqah, you have to give sadaqah, you have to give sadaqah. And all these beautiful examples, he's giving all these beautiful examples on how you have to give sadaqah, and the rewards and this and that. Until one of the young people there, he stands up and he says, I'm going to give away everything I have extra. Everything extra I have, I'm going to give away. He stands up, so the Shaykh asks him, where are you going? So he says, I'm going home and all I have extra, all the money I have extra, I'm going to give away. So the Shaykh says, be careful. Be careful, because Shaytan will try to stop you. So he says, no, 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 I am determined, I will do this. So he goes home. He comes home, he starts collecting his money, his wife comes. What are you doing? He says, well, Maulana was reciting about sadaqah. He said, if you give sadaqah, you will get it back. He said, if you give sadaqah, it will be good for you in paradise, and this and that. So she says, but yes, but listen, we have children, we have to take care of ourselves. But Maulana, Sheikh said this, and no, 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 but listen, we have to, you know, you can't just give away everything and this. And she continues, he goes back to the mosque. He comes empty-handed. The Sheikh is still continuing his lecture. He says, what happened? Did I not say that you will meet Shaitan? He says, no, I met the mother of Shaitan. Recite a salawat. These things will stop us. These things will come in our way to try to stop us. Of course, I'm not saying the wives are bad. This is just an example. The sisters will have to forgive me. To give a good example so that the sisters may be happy as well. It is reported that Nabi Isa went past a wedding. Nabi Isa went past a wedding and he looked and he said that the bride of this wedding will die tomorrow. The bride of this wedding will die tomorrow. And the day after, when they went past, they saw that the bride was still alive, the disciples. There was no one was mourning, the bride was still alive. And so they said to Nabi Isa, you said she will be dead by today. What has happened? And they said, let's go and ask. So they went and asked. They said, what happened yesterday? Have you done anything special? Has there happened anything special in this house? She says, no, nothing, except we got married. There was a beggar on the door and we gave away some of the things, some food and things like that. And Nabi Isa said, this giving away, there was a scorpion under your bed last night, but you, when you got up and you gave sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala postponed your death because of this charity. So sisters, I hope you're okay with me now. Please recite salawat. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah will not give respite to her. So once the time has come, it has to be here. It has to be now. Not later on regretting that, oh Allah, why don't you send me back now? You know, the thing is, our problem in this world that we have become so occupied with the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. You have become occupied with this competition in this world. Competition of cars, competition of houses, competition of money, competition of titles, competition, every type of competition. Alhamdulillah, التَّكَاثُرُ. You are blinded. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. Until you come to the graves, until you visit the graves. Two types of visit to the graves. And this is why we are told that whenever there is a person in your community that dies, join the funeral. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. That small visit that when you go, you are reminded. Death is the end. This is where I'm going. Everything that we are doing here has no point because unless it has ikhlas. Unless it has ikhlas, then it has a point. Otherwise, it is all worthless. But the real ziyarah of the maqabir, the real visit of the maqabir is when you can do nothing more. When you are the one who is being put 6 feet down. حَتَّى زُرْتُمَ الْمَقَابِرِ. At that point, كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, you will soon come to know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. You will come to know the knowledge of yaqeen. You know, had you only known, Allah says, had you only known the ilm of yaqeen, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. It would be as if you can see the hellfire now. Remember we said certain people, they in their spirituality come to that level, the hijabat are removed and they can see in this world. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ. Allah says, even though you didn't see it now, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. It will come a time you will see it with the eye. You will see it with the eye. Imam Ali alayhi salam. One day he was passing through the graveyards. He was returning from Siffin with his companions and they passed through a graveyard. And he stopped and he looked at the graves and he started to talking to the graves. He is talking to the graves, but he is actually talking to you and me. He wants you and me to listen. He says, Ya أهل الديار المحشة والقبور المظلمة يا أهل التربة يا أهل الغربة يا أهل الصابق يا أهل الوحدة يا أهل الوحشة. He says, O you people, O you who are lying in horrible and deserted houses, these houses which has been your end are deserted houses. O you who are shut up in the dark graves, who are alone in their abodes, strangers to the places assigned. You are strangers. There are no friends for you there. أنتم لنا فرطٌ سابق ونحن we are coming after you. Then he starts talking. He says, you have gone before us. He says, you have gone before us and we are coming after you. There is not a long difference between where you are and where we are. We are just behind you. And then he says, أَمَّا الدُّورُ فَقَدْ سُكِنَتْ. As for your houses, you know that big house you built, you renovated, you put in spotlights, you put in a sauna, everything you did. أَمَّا الْبُيُوتُ فَسُكِنَتْ. أَمَّا الدُّورُ فَسُكِنَتْ. Your houses, now other people are living in them. وَأَمَّا الْأَزْوَاجُ فَنُكِحَتْ. Those wives that you used to take pride in, you know, those trophy wives some people have, that they show off to other people. They don't care about their hijab or whatever, as long as they can show off, this is my beautiful wife. You know, Islam tells us to protect our wives, yet you find certain people when they get married, they want to show off their wives. فَأَمَّا الزَّوَاجُ فَنُكِحَتْ. Your wives now have been married to other people. And as for your children, what you owned, that which you did not give away during your life, وَأَمَّا الْأَمْوَالُ فَقَدْ قُسِمَتْ. It has been distributed to other people. And then he says, هَذَا خَبَرٌ مَا عِنْدَنَا. This are the news from this world. These are the news from us. These are the news from this dunya. Meaning whenever you leave everything behind. And then he says, فَمَا خَبَرُ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ. What are the news you have to give to us? Imam Ali is asking, your news. What can you give us so that we should prepare for the akhirah, for the qabr, for the barzakh? What can you give us so that we can prepare? And then he says to his companions, أَمَا لَوْ أَذِنَا, أَمَا لَوْ أُذِنَا لَهُمْ. If it was allowed for them, if it was permitted to them, فِي الْكَلَامِ, if they were allowed to speak, لَأَخْبَرُكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That the best provision that you can take from here is taqwa. Coming back to our topic. The best thing, leave everything behind. The only thing you are taking away from this dunya is that taqwa. Please recite the salawat. And so, we have come. Okay, let's just. Can we go back one slide, please? Please have a salawat. We have come to the third point. The verses that I recited in the beginning. Where Allah says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. Every soul shall be held as to pledge by what it has done. إِلَّا أَصْحَابَ الْيَمِينَ. Those people who had to go through the reckoning, there was hisab for them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then put them in paradise. In their amazement that why there are people who have gone to hellfire, they ask, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What made you end up in hellfire? So they said, لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. We did not pray, nor did we give charity. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِذِينَ. Now here it comes, we used to do that we did not supposed to do. Remember the non-actions. Imam Ali asked, what are the best actions? The Prophet says, to do nothing. Of course, not to abandon everything, but to do nothing. To avoid the haram, which becomes very difficult for us. They say, وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِذِينَ. We used to indulge into vain talk with those who used to vain talk. They are not saying we were the ones who did vain talking. Rather, there was a group who did vain talking or vain discourses. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِذِينَ. And we used to enter into their discourses with them. Whatever they were doing, we used to go there and become a part of it. We are worse. There are people who are worse than us. there are people who are worse than us, yet because we joined them, we said that what you are doing is okay. We gave them our approval that we will join you in this. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. So today we'll talk about avoiding vain talk. Tomorrow we'll go to avoiding intoxicants, and the day after we'll go into avoiding celibacy and promiscuity, because Islam is all about balance. So inshallah, the kinds of vain talk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, echoing these same times of themes, says, قَدْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The mu'minun are successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Again, back to the very same thing. Those who have khushu', who have attendance, who have that concentration of heart in their prayers. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ لَغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who shun that which is vain. Again, coming back to shunning that which is vain. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Hujurat is one of the amazing surahs. When it comes to akhlaq, amazing surah. If you want to learn akhlaq, read Surah Al-Hujurat. It is one of the best surahs which will teach you how to behave in society. Again, one of the things that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in that khutbah which we tried to analyze on the first night, was that this is the month to perfect your akhlaq. And because that is what will allow you to get over the sirat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Avoid much of suspicion, because there is some suspicion which is a sin. The Holy Prophet says that if you see someone, or if you suspect someone doing something which is haram, give him 70 excuses. 70 times. You saw, okay, let's tell, why you someone else? You saw me drinking something you thought it was, na'udhu billah, something haram. So you go and talk to everybody, you know, Brother Hassanain is, you know, he's drinking. No, the Prophet says, give him 70 excuses. Yes, if you believe I have a problem, you come to me and you talk to me and you tell me, listen, I saw you drinking something. Can you just please clarify what is going on? Can we help you somehow? There is no need to tell everyone. The Prophet says, make 70 excuses for your brother. 70 excuses does not mean that you sit and count. You know, some people will actually take a pen and paper. 1, 2, 3. No, this is adadul kithra. This is a number of magnitude, a number of plurality. Allah wants us, or the Prophet wants us, to you basically never suspect anything. Just keep on making excuses for your brother-in-law. Whereas you ask the Muslims, they are the first ones to accuse. There is no one who is as good as cutting down his Muslim brother as another Muslim. Unfortunately, this is the dunya we live in today. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, avoid suspicion. Avoid suspicion. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُ. So you saw Brother Hassanain leaving. Where is he going? Avoid spying. Where is he going? What does he want? Who is he talking to there? Avoid spying. I'm not saying this because it's me. I'm anyone. Me you can spy on. It's okay because I have responsibility here apparently. But avoid spying. Allah says avoid spying. وَلَا يَغْتَب. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And do not do ghiba, some of you of some others. Don't backbite others. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. مَيْتًا. Does any one of you, would any one of you like to eat? Some of people actually believe this is a hadith, but this is in the Quran. Would any one of you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Eating the flesh of your dead brother. This is how it is. Indeed, some of the hadith says that the Prophet on Mi'raj saw people eating flesh of human beings. And he asked them, he asked Jibreel, who are these people? And he was told, these are those who used to backbite. These are those who used to backbite. And the Prophet, whenever someone did backbite in his presence, he used to tell them that you have eaten the flesh. And even in one hadith, he points to the person and says, there is flesh in your mouth now. Because the Prophet has access beyond those hijabat which we don't have access. But he can actually, so he showed them the literal meaning of these verses. فَكَرَهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Back to that. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So fear Allah. Or have God consciousness. God against that which is haram. In Allah is تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. This word تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, which spoke about Allah's mercy yesterday. It is amazing. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most cases Allah says, for example, Allah is ghafoor, we are maghfoor. Allah is ghafir, we are maghfoor. Allah is rahman, we are marhum. Meaning Allah is the merciful, we are the one being shown mercy. Allah is rahman, and we are marhum. Allah is forgiving, we are the one being shown forgiveness to. Every time the relationship is that He shows something upon us, and we are being shown, we are the passive. When it comes to this word, tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same word for His beloved creation that He does for Himself. He is at-tawwab, He does tawbah, and we should do tawbah. He says, we do tawbah to Him, and He does tawbah back, He returns to us. فَتُوبْ إِلَيْهِ And He will, تُوبُ إِلَيْهِ And He will return, do the same thing. He will do tawbah towards you. It's the same word. Except the tawbah alayh. There is the preposition is different, but the word is the same. Showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so waiting. He is just waiting for us to turn back to Him. Yet we are turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do more tawbah. Please recite the salawat. Then Allah in the same surah, He continues, says, Ya ayyuhan nasu inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila li ta'arafu inna akramakum inda Allahi atqaakum inna Allaha alimun khabir. Back to that. Again, O insan, we have created you, and I must say that coming to Houston, it has opened my eyes, because here I really see that brotherhood. Allah says, we have created you in tribes and nations so that you may get to know each other. But the one who has the greatest karam and the one who has the greatest status in front of Allah is atqaqum, the one with the most taqwa, coming back to that. That is why we see, and I said here, many places when you go in the world, that racism is so strong. People of different nationalities will not sit with each other. People of different nationalities will not talk to each other. They will not go to the same mosque. And that's why I'm saying, in Houston, it has really opened my eyes. May Allah bless you. And may He increase you on this. And may He give you that tawfiq to spread this message all over to other jama'ats in the world, inshallah. But He says, the best one amongst you is the one with taqwa, meaning there is no difference between an Arab and an Iranian and a Hindi and a Khoja and a Muslim and a Pakistani and a Pathan and a Pashto or whatever in the world. There is no difference. I was talking to some of the youths today, and we came into the discussions of the Bible. In the Bible, it is reported that Nabi Nuh, na'udhu billah, was the first person to make wine and get drunk. Na'udhu billah. And that when he got drunk, he was naked. Na'udhu billah again. And that his son Ham saw him naked. And then he told his other brothers, and they covered him. And he said, who covered me? And they said, Ham saw you naked, so we covered you. He told us and we covered you. So he made Ham leave. Till this day, the Africans, or the black Africans, are by many Christian missionaries referred to as the Hamites, the descendants of Ham. And the racism they had comes from this story in the Bible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there is no difference in color, nationality, or anything except for taqwa. These are the lofty teachings of Islam. Recite the salawat. And you find that many of our a'imma actually had wives that were non-Arabs. For example, the sixth imam used to tell his companions to marry certain women of black Africa. And he himself had a wife. The seventh Imam's mother was called Barbariya. Hamida al-Barbariya. The seventh Imam in turn also married a black wife. Meaning the eighth Imam, was those pictures that we see sometimes, you know, of the Imams looking at nice Irani people. No, forget it. The eighth Imam was so black that when he goes to the hammam, you know, in old times they used to have bathhouses. He goes to the hammam when he's living or he has been appointed as the Waliul Ahd. He goes to the hammam, a soldier does not recognize him. But he sees this man is black, so he says, "Hey, you, scratch my back." So the eighth Imam, he goes, scratching the back. Now imagine, you know, if someone tells us, "How dare you? Huh? Scratch your back, me? You know who I am? You know who my father was?" No, the eighth Imam scratches. And someone comes in and says to the eighth Imam, to that soldier, "Do you know who's scratching your back?" He says, "No, who is it?" He says, "This is Ali ibn Musa, the Waliul Ahd of Ma'mun." And immediately he turns and he says, sorry, excuse me, forgive me. And the Imam says, "You gave me an opportunity for thawab." See how the way of A'imma, the way they had, the softness of their heart. You see, connecting to this abusing language. Sometimes when people use abusive language to us, we immediately fight back. So someone comes and says, "You so and so." So we turn back to him with 10 words like that. "You said this to me, well, you this and this and this and this and that." This is because we can't stand that. Our pride cannot accept that. Whereas Imam Ali told Qanbar once, when a man slandered him, Imam Ali told Qanbar, "Wait, don't slander him back. Don't slander him back. It is not right. Rather have patience, and that is the better way to go. Because by slandering, you have going down to his level. By using that kind of words, you're going down to his levels." What we are missing is that hilm. We are missing that hilm. We don't have that within us. Hilm, you know, when you are halim, I'm not talking about halim, the food you eat. The Pakistanis eat halim, you know. That is nice as well, but we are talking about halim, being halim, which Allah is halim. Allah is Halim. In Dua Iftitah we read, Alhamdulillahi ala hilmihi ba'da ilmi. All praise be to Allah for His hilm, for His forbearance after His knowledge. It's easy to be forbearing when you do not know. You do not know what this person is doing or is going to do. It's easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ilm. Today we turn, I say, "Oh Allah, I didn't wake up for Fajr, forgive me." He knows I'm not going to wake tomorrow yet. He is forbearing. I say, "Oh Allah, today I listened to music, forgive me." He knows I'm going to listen tomorrow, yet He gives me tomorrow to prove that I'm not going to listen. Alhamdulillahi ala hilmihi ba'da ilmi. You know, we are told to those attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to inculcate them in ourselves. We have to make them a part of ourselves. Because if we want to become insanul kamil, or at least as close as we can, we have to try to inculcate that within us. So hilm here is very important. And you see that, for example, in Imam Hassan alayhi salam. That a man from Syria once came to Medina. And the man from Syria, he finds out that this is Hassan bin Ali, and he starts abusing him. "Oh, you so and so, when your father was such and such, and you are such and such." Hearing all this abuse, Imam Hassan just finished. Ahsan, salawat. Imam Hassan stands there and listens to all this abuse. And then he says, "You know, what would we answer again? You dare say anything about my father? And what if your father is Ali ibn Abi Talib?" Imam Hassan says, "You seem to be tired. You're a traveler. You need anywhere to stay? Have you eaten anything?" And that man, just by those kind words, turned like that and became a devotee of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. He says, I have been hearing these kind of things of you and your father, which I don't see in you. You are one of the most kindest persons I have met. But this is the teachings of the A'imma, to have that hilm, to have that forbearance. The Prophet says in a hadith, just tying back to ghibah, the word ghibah actually comes from the word, the same word we have for ghibah. That is what you do when someone is not there, when someone is not present. Ghibah is what you do when someone is not present. He says in a hadith that ghibah is worse than fornication 36 times. It is worse than, actually no, he says usury, sorry, riba, is worse than fornication 36 times. And then he says the worst type of riba is riba. So the amount of sins, and it is so easy, you see, that is why the Prophet says, the best action in this month, stay away from the haram. Yet it is so difficult for us. How easy it is not when we sit with our friends. Hum to bas baat karte hain, you know. It's just small talk. But that small talk leads from one discussion to another discussion, coming into what this person did, what that person did, what that person said. And do not believe that just because you are just listening, you are safe. The Prophet says, both of them are doing ghibah. The one who talks and the one who listens, both are doing ghibah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says that a man will come on judgment day and he will see his a'mal. And he will say, Allah, I used to fast, I used to pray, all these good actions I used to do. I can't see them here. Where are they, Allah? So Allah says, or the reply will come, that because of the ghiba you did to such and such person, those good a'mal of yours has been transferred from your book to his book. That other person will wake up and he'll see, Allah, I did not used to do all these good actions. And the reply will come that because of that person doing ghiba for you, on you, his good actions has come into your a'mal. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we break against him, if we sin against him, he is Arhamur Rahimin, he can forgive us. But if we sin against our fellow human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also adil. He cannot say that I have forgiven you on part of this servant. We have to have the forgiveness of that servant. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, once going with a companion of his. And this companion of his had a slave. So he's looking behind, he's trying to find his slave. Where is my slave? And the slave is nowhere to be found. So he's looking one time, two times, three times. Finally, when he finds him, he says, you son of such and such woman, where were you? And Imam Sadiq just turns and says, what did you just say about his mother? What did you accuse his mother of? And so he says, well, oh Imam, this man, his mother is from Sindh. They were not Muslims. His mother is not a Muslim, so she is an adulteress. He says, every religion has their own marriage. You have no right to accuse anyone of anything in this way that you just did. It is not your right. And then this companion, he said, I used to see signs of piety in you. But after you uttering this word, after you uttering this slander, I see nothing in you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, waylul likulli humazatil lumazah. Waylul likulli humazatil lumazah. Woe be upon every slanderer and backbiter. Alladhi jama'a malan wa akhlada. You see how these things are interconnected. Alladhi jama'a malan wa akhlada wa addada. The one who is collecting his mal and he is planning, he thinks that this is going to save him. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He believes that his mal is going to give him eternity. كَلَّا لَيُنْبَضَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Even that person is going to end up in Hutama. Hutama is a stage of hellfire. Even that person is going to end up there. So slandering, backbiting, and of course, that last part, You can see that, right? Music and singing. We don't want to see that. We can't drive our cars without that. We can't relax without that. We can't have a nice time without that. But it is also vain talk. It is also vain discourse. It is that which is haram to listen to and that which is haram. Of course, the ulama will tell you that there is some types of music that is halal and there is some types of music that are haram. But certainly I tell you, if it's Snoop Dogg, it's haram. Right? We know of Snoop Dogg. I don't know who else we listen to here. Tupac? Yeah? Tupac probably blasphemy as well. My words, what was the same? His word, he believes his words to be. I remember a friend was coming to me. He said, Tupac is a Muslim. I said, why? He said, Tupac is a Muslim. I said, why? What are you saying? He says, Tupac says my words are holy like the Holy Quran. I said, he's the worst type of Muslim, bro. Right? So these kind of things, haram. It is reported that the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, once went passed by a house where a man called Bishr was living. And he's hearing music from this house. So he asks, and when he passes, a maidservant of Bishr is outside, throwing some garbage. So he asks her that, can you please tell me, the one who lives in this house, is he a free man or a slave? Remember what we said the first night? Allah did not create us except for ibadah. But when we do His ibadah, we achieve taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved mi'raj for His abd. Is this man who is living here a free man or a slave? So she says in pride, of course my master is a free man. What do you think? Yes. If he was a slave, he would not do this. He would not behave like this. So he walks away and the woman walks in. So Bishr asks, what happened? Why did it take such a long time? So she says, I met this man outside. He asked me, are you a free man or a slave? I said, of course you are a free man. So he said, what did he say then? He said, if he was a slave, he would not behave like this. Just like that, Bishr turned. You see, this is the, in Urdu we say, khubi of a'immah. This is the quality of them, that they knew how to approach people. It's not, you know, throwing the Quran down the throat of people. That believe or otherwise you'll die. Or believe or you'll go to hellfire. They look at the way of people work and they use their mentality. They go to on their level. She says that he said that if you were a free man, you would not behave like this. Bishr immediately turns. He runs out without his shoes. Al-Hafi means the shoeless. Barefoot. He runs out barefoot, he stops the Imam and he says, what did you say? And then just like that, just like Imam Hassan turned that man, the Syrian, Imam Musa al-Kadhim turns Bishr al-Hafi, just like that. And Bishr al-Hafi becomes one of his closest companions. The point being that when we use our words, we have to choose them wisely. You know, there are hadith says that a man is behind his tongue. If you want to get to know a man, look at his tongue. The way he speaks, you will get to know what kind of a person that is. And in this month, which is the month of teaching self-control, as we said, fasting is to stay away from that which is halal, so that we train ourselves, to stay away from that which is haram. So we pray to Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, حق فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها. O Allah, in this month, accept our ibadah. O Allah, whatever we have to offer, accept it from us, multiply it for us. O Allah, what we cannot do of all those amal that are recommended in this month, O Allah, forgive us for that. O Allah, in the night of Qadr, write for us Hajj this year and every year. Write for us the ziyarah of your Holy Prophet and the ziyarah of the A'imma alayhim as-salam. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of the Mahdi. O Allah, join us in his army. بآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام على المرسلين وعلى محمد وآله الطاهرين.